Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Goz.
Hi.
And I'm your host Ace. In today's episode we'll talk about Princess Minerva, a movie from 1995. We're going to be talking a lot for the Greencast Game of the Year podcast, so I wanted to do something shorter for this pal. It was produced by Group Tech, the company behind Beautiful Joe, Street Fighter 2, and Street Fighter Alpha the Movie. Those last two we covered on this podcast. Princess Minerva currently has an AnyList score of 57%. Princess Minerva is a role-playing game which released in 1992 on the NEC PC 9801. That was a Japanese exclusive PC. And was ported to the TurboGrafx and the Super Famicom. Yeah, it never got released outside of Japan, though there is a fan translation of the SNES version. Sorry, Super Famicom version.
Yeah, Super Famicom is SNES in the rest of the world. And yeah, I saw also that there was a recent translation. I actually found gameplay of it.
Yeah, me too. I found a long play, and I was surprised when it turned out to be of the fan translation, not the original.
Actually, was surprised that I've never heard of it, because this a bit of a spoiler, but I was surprised at the quality of it and the quality of the English dub too, and I can't find much like trivia about it. Like TV Tropes has some, but not much. Like I wonder if it's known in Japan at all, the OVA.
Well, the back in the 90s, companies in the West were just dubbing anything they could get their hands on. It's a Japanese cartoon. People love Japanese cartoons. Ooh, it has boobs. Let's definitely get this on a DVD.
So it was on DVD. Okay. I wondered where it would, where you could find it when it was released in the West, how it was released.
All right, well, my short synopsis for this is, there's a martial arts tournament and everyone wants to win. Artura, what do you have?
That could be very used for Dragon Ball as well. The titular princess joins a martial arts tournament against everyone's wishes and causes a lot of problems.
And goes?
I had some comments about it being similar to Dragon Ball. Well, not specifically, but that genre. But yeah, my synopsis doesn't have anything about the tournament, actually. Back in Babesteros, a babe princess randomly assembles a team of babes, conveniently just in time to fight a babe sorceress and her own team of babes to end all babes, literally.
Very 90s coded synopsis. Right, well, with the long synopsis, it goes this week.
All right, let's see. In Kingdom of Whistler, where every woman wears a skimpy swimsuit, we join Princess Minerva, who performs some sort of Jewish magic, despite the worries of her attendant Blue Morris, resulting in some mountains getting erased from the map, and the narrator quitting. He doesn't show up anymore.
He does not. Right away, my note was, the whole thing has a real abridged series quality to it, but not in a bad way.
It does. Actually, I was meaning to ask before I started the synopsis, but which language version did you watch?
The dub.
Yeah, I went through, I first started with the dub, and I really liked it. And then I also watched the Japanese, and I was sad that some jokes were added in the dub, okay? And some like performances in the dub also made it more funnier. It's very much very like an abridged thing, but Minerva isn't bothered, however, and moves on instantly, deciding to recruit a group of bodyguards. I'd say to speed up her efforts of blowing up the kingdom, but she doesn't have the attention span to plan that. Elsewhere, evil sorceress with a Russian accent. Europeans are evil in back when this was dubbed. If you're evil, you're European. Or something. Or Russian. A Dynastar beats her teacher, Master Hagen, in a battle, and he gives her a less revealing yet infinitely more lewd armored swimsuit, the old pervert, and she goes after Princess Minerva for reasons.
When she leaves at the end of the scene, she says to a flunky, take care of this place. You mean the lake that you just nuked? Take care of the wasteland you created.
Look, they count it on you, on people who watch it, to be intelligent and like extrapolate that themselves. Like maybe you need to pour some water into the lake to maintain it, to make sure that there's water, like every few days. Add some water to the lake.
Like it's a cat bowl.
We cut to K2, that was his name, right? A hobbit who sounds like he swallowed Goofy. Garsh! He overheard Dinosaur's nefarious plans. Oh my god! But now it's time to get a snack. He steals food from a fighter, Kesley, and escapes on an ostrich, initiating a wacky chase that fast forwards through half a season of a TV show. This is the first arc where all our protagonists meet. This chase.
The things he eats don't correspond with what she seems to claim she has, because she says, get your hands off my melons while chasing after
him. I don't know. I blocked that out.
So you weren't interested in her melons?
No. I mean, we know that she doesn't have a lot of melons later when the merchant woman says, hello there, little boy. I think I in that scene, in the chase scene, I missed some information, some dialogue, because the soundtrack for that section is a bit weird and sounds exactly like something that I don't know if anyone would know, but there's on a YouTube channel that I watch, they watch like obscure VHS tapes, and one time they watched something called California Big Hunks, which is a bunch of guys dancing, and the music is exactly that. It's like it's weird. Okay, I don't know what else to say. It's California Big Hunks music. That's what I called it in my mind. Where was I? Yes, fast forward to have a season on a TV show. A former cleric, Orlin, has a wholesome time with her funny little sidekick, a narcoleptic, diminutive half-elf who snores and burps like a freight train. Again, that's in English version only. In Japanese, no, there isn't any joke about that. But in English, they were like, oh, she looks at the little half-elf lovingly. Let's add a fucking burp there.
Well, the Western audience might think that the elf is dead and she's just carrying around this corpse, so we need to add sound effects to make sure they know it's alive.
I like to think that whoever directed the dub just had a great sense of humor and was like, this is a great, great moment to just undercut everything with a joke. And yeah, just a huge snore. He snores and burps like a freight train. And she gets run over by K2 and Kelsey. Pissed off, she literally calls them toad fuckers. And I'm sorry, toad fornicators or something. But I was like, did she just call them toad fuckers? Basically, yes. I loved it. And rushes after them with the three interrupting a duel between Linalter, a narcissistic self-proclaimed greatest swordsman, and his target, Chiloria, Lady of Death, a legendary bounty hunter. K2 hits a brick wall, beginning the city arc of the season of an anime, and ending up at the mercy of Kesley. They're soon joined by still-pissed Orlin and newly-pissed Linalter, who also wants to fight. Before they can start beating each other up, they are interrupted by a traveling merchant, Lucroa, and then Cutie Kamen, a masked lady knight. Everyone gets arrested, except for K2, who escapes, and Cutie Kamen, who is actually Minerva.
Around this time, I wrote a note saying that they keep using Yiddish phrases, and it's just weird.
Yiddish phrases?
Yiddish, yeah. American Jews tend to use words like Zeugewalt. That's Yiddish.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I was wondering which words.
I'd have to rewatch the scenes, but yeah, there's like three of them in quick succession, and it just stood out to me. Like, why do they have these words?
Well, you know, again, I feel like the director might have a good sense of humor, and like me, saw that Minerva drew Star of David on the ground at the beginning when she was performing a magic spell to blow the mountain, and was like, oh, they're probably, let's make them Jewish. Why not? Diversity, you know? After getting bitched at by Blue Morris, Minerva is assaulted in the bath by K2, who followed Cutie Kamen, and also warns her about assassination attempt while she's drowning him, I think. It's not very clear.
I thought that too. I was like, what? Did she understand about the assassination attempt?
The thing is, he also learned later, it turns out that he... Because he says, assassination, King Valdis, something like that. So it's like, that's not what he learned from the conversation between Dynastar and her people. So, like...
Just survive a nuclear blast, so give him some credit.
Yeah, like, it turns out that he just mixed up the information, but the first time I watched it, I was like, is he trying to call for the king that he's being assassinated? Is that what's happening? Kesley, Orlin, and Lucroa bond in jail and get released. They all join the tournament to determine Minerva's bodyguards, along with Chiloria, Lion Alter, and Minerva herself as Cutie Kamen. As the tournament starts, K2 unsuccessfully tries to find the assassins who kidnap Blue Morris, posing as Minerva so that she can participate in the competition. Oh no! The tournament gets interrupted by Minerva's martial arts teacher? I think they are counting on you to guess things, and I'm going to assume that I'm right.
She calls him teacher, and he does some martial arts, so yes?
Yeah, she can fight, so... Meh. Who discovered Blue Morris got, and Minerva gets locked in her room by her father, who I think is Ryu, if he gave up on battling his inner darkness and had years of crippling depression instead.
I mean, if M. Bison's isekai truck is everywhere, it's fair enough for Ryu to be here, too.
How do you think Ryu got there?
Oh, no, M. Bison?
Yeah, you managed to hit him with the truck.
That explains the depression.
That's where he ended up. This is a sequel to the Street Fighter movie that we watched. Minerva, however, just makes another servant pose as her. She just has a wig, I guess. She escapes and has K2 assemble all the babes in the land to rescue Blue Morris from Dynastar, her own team. Blue Morris is rescued by Minerva, who fails to open her chains on first try, so just smashes the boulder she's tied to, which I thought was great.
I mean, she could just hit the chains. But no, she hit around the chains to smash the rock.
I mean, it's like... I thought it was clever. Like, I can't open the chains that are binding you to the rock. Let me just destroy the whole thing that you're bound to. Good job. But then the two are trapped in Dynastar's illusory world. Oh no! Blue Morris sacrifices herself to protect Minerva, and when everything seems lost, Tua saves Blue Morris and shows Minerva how other girls are still fighting to help. Or still fight to help. Wait, I skipped something. This makes Minerva remember she knows Jewish magic that can level mountains and uses it to blast Dynastar, who counters with her own spell. Our heroes survive and celebrate as Dynastar and her evil babes retreat, right before Master Hagen breaks the fourth wall and says, "Wasn't this fun? Go play the game now."
Basically.
After the credits, two guards who sound like members of the Beatles wonder where the princess is, just as a mountain explodes in the distance.
Was it a good adaptation? It was a prequel, technically, to the game, but still.
Some characters look different than they do in the game, a little different. And
they have to look more babyish.
And some characters were missing that are in the introductory scene of the game. So that would be my only complaints. But other than that, everyone seems pretty faithful to what you see in the game. And yeah, it's a prequel, so whatever. You learn what happens to them before.
Atara, anything about the game?
No, I saw some of the characters that I recognized, but honestly, overall, I couldn't, it was a prequel, right? Like, it gets close.
From scrubbing through the gameplay footage, I saw a transformation sequence, a magical girl type thing, but that doesn't happen in the anime.
To be fair, the Batgirl does have a transformation sequence.
Yeah.
You mean when she puts on snake skin dirt?
Yeah, I have no idea what it was, but
didn't he say it was like some net and liquid metal?
He said the master
says it in the early scene.
So was it a Yata Nani or a Baka Atura?
I think for me it was a Nani. It just felt like it was a nothing burger. 45 minutes in, I didn't really fully connect with any of the characters or really care about the story a whole lot. I did like Blue Morris a lot, though. I don't know why, but I appreciated her a lot.
Ghost?
For me, it was Ayata. I thought that the pacing is quite relentless. Again, it seems to go through multiple arcs of what you would expect in a TV show. Like, you have, the arc, you have the opening where you get some of the premise of the, like, the main conflict. You get, right away, you get the heroes meeting, they have problem with the law, and then you have the tournament arc, and then you get to the confrontation with the bad guy. And yeah, I thought it was like really well animated, and I thought it was clever throughout, and it seemed very self-aware. Like, yeah, we know it's not serious. Like, we don't need to develop characters too much. We don't need to like establish things. Like, again, that relentless pacing, relentless progression of the plot from start to the end, and like, yeah, clever gags.
Personally, I thought it was a baka. I found it boring despite the action scenes and some of the dialogue, and like you said, Arturo, is a bit of a nothing burger. So does it deserve its Annie-list score of 57%?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's too low, but again, I'm looking at it from a perspective of, I watched a lot of a Bridge series. I like movies that are so bad that they're good. I like schlocky stuff that's, again, is it's like dumb fun, self-aware. We know that it's dumb and we're just trying to have fun with it. So I'm enjoying it from that angle. I don't expect it to be a genuinely well-developed, constructed story with like something that elevates it more. Like, it's a complete opposite of Nausea that we did recently. Like, that was like, I would say that was on the... Sorry, I'm rambling out. But yeah, I would say that Nausea was on the side where you have like high art stuff, and this is more like dumb fun.
Well, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And Petit, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.